Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Simon Mann isn't with me today. He's heading off to Australia, so he's in the air at the moment. Time for reflection, I guess, for him and for all of us. We're still reeling from the harrowing testimony of Azeem Rafiq on Tuesday in front of the DCMS. It was powerful. It was emotional. It was really heart-wrenching. I know I'm not alone in being shocked and ashamed at how he and clearly so many other cricketers of Asian extraction or other ethnicity, really, have obviously suffered. It's truly appalling. I feel like I've tried over many years to understand these situations and issues and attempted to engage with them, but I realise now how little we did comprehend what was really happening. We, as a community, have totally failed them, and in so many ways. The stories emerging today about Rafiq's own past mistakes should not obscure his vital message that our supposed culture of inclusivity and diversity is really a sham. We need to do so much more and in so many ways. And I'll give you an example. A few years ago, my son Billy was playing in a Colts game for Acton against Austerley. And in the Austerley team, I came across some really talented, enthusiastic players of Afghanistani origin. Some 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, brilliant left arm, fast bowler, brilliant batsman, clever leg spinner, and some great fielders actually as well. And they were really exciting cricketers. I was struck by how good they were. And I walked round the boundary, sort of watching the game from different angles and chatting to some of the fathers and mothers who were there watching their sons play. And, you know, they were all mostly either born in Afghanistan or their parents were Afghanistani. And I said, oh, these guys are really talented. Have you any of them played Middlesex under 15s or... No, that was the answer, no. None of them had had any contact with Middlesex at all. And I've no idea why, but I thought, well, this is extraordinary. I mean, these guys could be absolute revelations in county cricket at junior level. And so I said to the fathers, look, I promise I'll mention this to Middlesex. And I did. I did say it to a few people at Middlesex. But you know, was there any proper engagement made? Not to my knowledge, no. I didn't follow it up. They didn't follow it up as far as I know. And I just think these communities have felt so ostracised and alienated and in many cases discriminated against and verbally abused as well. And no one, or not many people, have really listened or done anything about it. No wonder Rafiq does not want his children to get involved in cricket. Among many things that need to change is dressing room culture. That clearly is so obvious. What Rafiq and so many others in county and club dressing rooms as well have suffered was clearly blatant racism. Cricket dressing rooms, professional and amateur, can be harsh places and ugly truths are often spouted, but there's a line you mustn't cross. And that clearly has been to a terrible and astonishing degree. I told the story on a recent podcast, actually, about Marcus Trescothick and the fact that, you know, when he came into the England side for the first time around about 2000, 2001, he was quite shocked by the sort of piss-taking, mickey-taking, even sometimes worse in the England team. And he said to Nasser Hussain, who was captain at the time, surely we just need to be nicer to each other. Can't we be nicer to each other in the team? And it was a perfectly reasonable request. And that applies to us all. Players, coaches, supporters, even armchair viewers. We want cricket to be a game for everyone. And as Stephen Fry so eloquently put in his MCC Spirit of Cricket lecture the other day, ironically the same day as Rafiq's testimony, he said, "Unless our sons and daughters with a desire for a life in cricket are confident that cricket wants to have a life with them, the spirit of cricket's flame will flicker and go out." So, to explore this subject a little further, I invited into our virtual cricket club last night former England cricketer Dean Headley, now a schoolteacher at Stamford in Suffolk. He's the son of Ron Headley, the former Worcestershire and West Indies left-hander, and grandson, of course, of the great George Headley, the Black Bradman, they called him. Dean was brought up in Birmingham by a white mother and a black father, and I actually played with him for a short time at Middlesex before I retired, and he eventually moved on to Kent and had a successful, albeit injury-ruined, career in the England team. So I wanted to know from Dean what his experiences had been like growing up in Birmingham and also what he'd thought of the Rafiq testimony.
I think it's a personal story. I think that it has happened to probably quite a lot of people in various different levels. And I think that it's going to open up a can of worms across the whole of sport. I don't think it'll be cricket. I think it will be all. In fact, I would say pretty much if you went to every organisation in this country 30, 40 years ago, you will find racial abuse that has gone on. So it's how much of this can of worms will you open? How much will you try and compensate? And are we looking to educate to go forward? I always say to people, if you don't teach young kids what racism is, how can they be it? But we teach young children what racism is. We teach them what bigotry is. We teach them all this information, but we also forget, we also teach them how to be it. And I ask that question a lot, even at school. Why teach children about racism at such a young age? They can probably deal with it more when they're teenagers. But I think if we just centre on good manners, good respect, behaviours, and if we centre on behaviours and teach those, I don't think we need to teach behaviours just through, especially at a young age. And also, you know, I've got a situation where I've got my granddad, my dad, me. All I'll tell you is that what I went through pales in insignificance to what my dad went through. And then obviously what my granddad went through, my dad, it wasn't as bad for my dad. So it's, I think the world is getting better, but I think that I've got to be very careful here. We are in the culture of somebody must be to blame. And sometimes that is true, but I think that we are going to run down a route where everything, you won't be able to say anything to anybody. And that's not decrying this case because I've not heard the details. But I would say that, you know, when I played, I think the second team circuit was a lot of clubs. There was a lot of bullying that went on, not just racism, but just general bullying. And it was sort of seemed as a rite of passage, if you like. If you can get through this, you can get through anything. And in some ways, they were right. But there are some people who don't get through it and get scarred by it.
Hmm. So what did you experience and how did you get through it?
I got taught that, see, to be honest, anybody. I don't have a problem with people not liking me because of the colour of my skin. You know, they've got a right to believe what they want to believe. However, I do have a problem if they try and influence others too. So for me, if I was in a bar and somebody called me a name, I wouldn't go fighting. I wouldn't back away. I'd just like think, really feel, I feel sorry for them. I wouldn't make myself the victim. I make them the person that I feel sorry for. That's my upbringing. It's a personal thing. My mum and dad, you know, they went through a lot. My mum is white. My dad is black. I'll tell you a story. So when my mum and dad went to get married, they got married. They were buying their house, and the road that they went to buy the house in the cul-de-sac, my dad found out that the consortium was being formed by the men in that road to buy the house and sell it at a later date so he couldn't move in. You know, so that sort of thing, you know, my mum would have letters to the door, monkey lover. You know, and also people don't realise that less than 60 years ago in 1964, the Conservative slogan in the Smerwick by-election, official slogan, and I don't know whether I can use this word, but I will. If you want a nigger for a neighbour, vote Labour. That was an official, because I'm just quoting a fact. That was an official slogan of the Conservative Party that they apologised only recently for. And that's 60 years ago, guys, and that sort of thing doesn't happen now. But I think that 30 years ago, I think, yeah, there were times that, you know, you had Jim Davidson, you had Love Thy Neighbour, you had different things that we all laughed at. There's another one, and it was an English college for teaching foreign people how to speak English, and it had an Indian, a Pakistani, an Italian, a Greek, a French person, basically the whole humour was them all having a go at each other all the time. Mind your language, it was called. So I look at this world that my sons are living in, and it's a really good world. We've still got our problems, but it's way better than when I got brought up in the 70s and 80s. And we still got loads to go to be respectful for each other, but I've been phoned or contacted about 4 or 5 times in the last 2 days to go on TV programs, talk about it. I'm happy with my story. I know a lot of people aren't happy with their story. Did I get abused? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Do I want to talk about it? Not really. I did a documentary for Sky. I spoke about it then. Went to watch Cunningham, Regis and Batson play for West Brom. He used to sit on, and 15,000 people were throwing, you know, people were throwing bananas, everything. So have we moved on? Yeah, I think we have. Have we still got some lessons to learn? Yes. Does social media make it worse? Yeah, definitely. It just like magnifies everything. You know, you got to look at people's intention before you look at whether you should slate them or not. And intention is very important for me.
Context, you mean?
Yeah, I think it is context. It's not just the words that you use. So, for instance, if I call, say, if you were white and you called somebody a black so-and-so, why have you called him that? Well, perhaps you don't know his name. Perhaps that's the easiest description. Is it any different to calling somebody fat or spotty or four eyes or whatever? I don't think black is a racist word. I think it's a word that follows it that causes the problem. So if I say, look at that good looking black girl, is that a racist comment? I don't know. I don't know what the world makes of it. For me, it's not.
Okay. Did you meet your grandfather?
Yeah, I did. I met him at the age of it when I was 11. He came over and he met him once for a couple of days. A tiny little man. He was about, 5'7", I think. And then that's it. That's the only time that I saw him. So it's quite weird when people talk about my family history, and I meet loads of people who know my granddad better than I do. But it's been really interesting over the years to read about him. But I always look at him as my granddad, not as George Headley, the great West Indian batsman.
And you probably see. Have you seen any footage of it? Have you seen any Is there any footage of him batting? I don't think I've seen any actually. Have you seen any?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit. Yeah. He used to have his hands really wide apart, one at the top, one at the bottom. Supposedly a really good bad wicket player, as in, you know, when the wickets got really bad, he probably averaged more than anybody. Obviously at the time, you know, there's some talent in the West Indies. I mean, he was the first black captain of the West Indies as well.
Yeah.
Frank Worrell was the first official, but he was the first one to captain them in a test match.
Jeff Boycott likes that fact, actually. He knows that fact.
A lot of people don't realise that the West Indies team was half white in the early stages.
You know, we had in the Cricket and Magazine's 100th anniversary issue, we had Pelham Warner, an interview with his granddaughter, because Pelham Warner founded the Cricketer. And Pelham Warner was born in Trinidad, one of 22 children, and he captained England, and his brother, who had a name beginning with C, I can't remember the name now, like Clyde or something like that, he captained West Indies. So you actually had two brothers captain on the size of an international team. And
I mean, I'll tell you a story. So you're talking about George. So you got the black Bradman, something that were called Bradman the White Headley. So when I was playing Test cricket, Athers, he used to call me the beige Bradman.
Did they?
And he called me the beige Bradman because he said, obviously, the batting genes has faded. So obviously the black Bradman, he called me the beige Bradman, which I thought was very funny.
So Dean Headley finishing those series of quite profound thoughts, actually, with a lighter note to end with. And good of him to give up his time on behalf of the Professional Cricketers Trust, the charity we support, this virtual cricket club is in aid of, to help the charity that helps cricketers who've fallen on hard times and so on. We've got a nice list, actually, of potential guests coming up in the next month or two. Paul Nixon, Alex Tudor, Stephen Fry has actually promised to come on, which would be fun. Philip De Freitas, talk about the Ashes and perhaps also some of the issues that they faced in their career, some of those guys. So you can join us by going to worldsbestcricketclub.com. And it's become a real little community, that club, with lots of members from all over the world, from all races and ethnicities. And one of the features of our club is to allow everybody to have their say, sort of after the main interview, and obviously ask questions of our guest as well. And we've had some interesting thoughts over the last few months, particularly picking up on this racism story. And one person who was an interesting guest, a member last night, was Umar Mughal, a family from Pakistan. He comes from the Bradford area. He's a finance analyst for Mercedes-Benz now, but played cricket in the 90s in Bradford and is now a coach. And so his story was really interesting. This is Umar Mughal.
I've been a level two for 5 years. I'm doing my level three. Yeah. Interestingly, I played in the Bradford League in the 90s. So I think, to put it in a nutshell, I think when you say institutionally racist, that means everyone's racist, but that's not the case. I'd say directly, the guys I played with, probably two or three out of the 11, were openly racist and would crack jokes and whatever. But the sad part was the majority wouldn't say, "Oh, mate, that's wrong. You know, don't say that." Even if they knew it was wrong. So I think that's what has to change. And now I coach at Bedfordshire under 14s, and broadly my age group is half posh school white kids, half Luton Asian kids. Mm. And it's brilliant because it's that's the mix we want. And they interact. There's no kind of, well, I don't think there's any class barrier, but equally, I think up to the our community or the Black community to go and do your level twos, go and coach, go and get involved. Because until we do that, then the coaches will all be white people. So I think, you know, I think the next generation is key. Break down barriers. Also, we need to get more involved. So my parents used to always say, oh, that's the way it is. If you get called the P word or whatever, that's the way it is. We had it far worse. So they were always going, oh, we had it far worse in the 60s. But I think, yeah, if we get more involved, that's the way forward.
Did you see Rafiq's testimony yesterday?
I watched it in chunks. And a lot of what he said, I can relate to in terms of, I think what it was, they didn't want to, I felt in Yorkshire, in the where I play. I mean, I played in the Bradford League. So you had the Saturday English League, the Sunday Asian League. And it was complete two different worlds, completely. And I think the Saturday League, they didn't want to know us. Like, why do you fast? Why are you praying? Why this? Why don't you eat bacon? You know, there was just kind of, I think there was that lack of understanding as to why we do things, which made us more isolated. And it just kind of made the issue worse. Actually, one of the lads who made a complaint, Tabassum Bhatti, he played with me for 5 years in juniors, and he was fantastic. Yeah. Actually, I met him a few years ago. He's still heartbroken by it. He was so good, but he just felt the doors were open for him.
It was just blocked, was it? His route was sort of inhibited.
Yeah, I think what it is like, if you abuse someone, whether they're Black, white, homosexual, whatever, it just chips away at you, doesn't it? It just nibbles away, nibbles away, nibbles away. And you end up feeling this big for no reason. So it's like we love the game, but felt the game didn't love us. And after I left for uni, for 15 years, I didn't touch a battle ball. And then my son was born. I've got back into it. So,
wow.
So yeah, it does affect you. And I think a lot of things that were said, you think, oh, yeah. Being honest, the P word and curries, these were standard terms, for being honest. It was kind of, and then if you said a word, like, oh, you got a chip on your shoulder. We don't want trouble causers. You know, you'd be grateful to play here. You know, but these were the kind of things that were happening. I mean, I know I'm quite active in the group and this thing, but I'm very upset with the Yorkshire because they had a chance to own it, say, yeah, we messed up, let's move forward. But they covered it up.
Sorry, I cut him off there actually because the line went down and somebody interrupted him, as often happens with these forums online. But some somber thoughts and moving thoughts there from Umar Mughal, who is now coaching in Bedfordshire and obviously doing a good job. And he spoke candidly there about his experiences, and I guess these sort of experiences are really shared up and down the country in all sorts of different environments, not just in Yorkshire, but a lot of other places as well. You know, there's no doubt that we just have to do more. We have to listen. We have to take account of everything that is said and try and become much more inclusive and diverse as a cricketing establishment and give everybody a chance. It should be, as I said earlier, a game for everyone. And we'd like to hear more from you, actually. I mean, if you want to join our club, worldsbestcricketclub.com, it is £6 a month, but you get a live interview every week. And we've also created this WhatsApp group, which is very active and lots of interesting views on there. It's become a real community. As you could hear there are some people able to voice some very coherent and penetrating views. It is a really good forum for airing whatever you need to get off your chest. So please join us, worldsbestcricketclub.com. We'll have another guest next week, as I said, from that list earlier. And, you know, this has been a somber week for cricket. Let's look forwards and make it better from here. Thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.